Hey, Promised Land, Pastor Robin here. I want to jump on the podcast today and give you some extra content, not just our sermon, but I had a conversation recently with Lacey Sween, and I think you'll really, really enjoy it. We sat down and just shared thoughts about the Bible, thoughts about what's happening right now, thoughts about faith and how our worship is impacting our faith journey. So here's Lacey Sween and my conversation. Hey, everybody. Welcome. So glad to have you join us right now. I'm joined with a good friend of Promised Land, Lacey Sween, who was our worship leader for many years, from 2001 to 2018. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And, 2011, actually.
2011.
Yeah, there's an extra.
Yes. It was a good 2 years. We love her, and many, many of you know her because you were here during that era. But if you haven't met her yet, she's just an amazing person. She's a great singer, musician, leader, historian, I will say, student, professor. And so we just always love hanging out with her. And several weeks ago, some of us saw her online singing and just kind of connecting with people online. And we wanted to officially have her here with Promised Land since we're all online right now. So welcome, Lacey. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. And I'm good up here in rural Missouri. Things are pretty quiet up here. So I'm good. Family's good. And glad to be with you guys today.
What's it like as far as the coronavirus there? Are there any cases in your area?
I think we've had 4 cases in our county, no deaths. In the whole state, I think it's like maybe a couple of hundred deaths in the whole state. But this part of the state is very small, a lot of small towns, not a lot of travel and stuff. So most of the cases are around Kansas City and St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people are actually still working around here.
Yeah. Your stores are open and things like that?
Yeah, some of them. Well, kind of like a lot of places, the essential things, but yeah.
Worship is so important, you know, to be in that in that moment with God. It's a unique moment when we worship like that. There's nothing like it because each moment is different and unique.
And fresh. Special.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I've never experienced anything that I can't praise my way out of.
Wow. So good.
Yeah.
If you were talking to somebody that wasn't, used to that kind of expression or maybe brand new to Christianity and not, doesn't know how to worship, how would you tell them to just kind of get into those moments?
I think the first thing, the most important thing is to introduce them to Jesus himself so that they're not pursuing a feeling apart from Jesus. Because I think sometimes people try to do that and then maybe they have some kind of feeling or it's like they're around people who are worshiping and they experience, they taste a little bit of that peace, it's, they're in an atmosphere where, they've never experienced that before. But to really be part of it, you've got to come into relationship with Jesus. It's kind of the difference between seeing a bunch of people in a swimming pool and maybe they splash you a little bit and then you getting in yourself. And so if there are people that they're like, man, I sense something. These people have something I don't have. I would say to you, come to Jesus. And he invites us to come to me. And then he says to abide in me. That means to move in, just make him your home into Christ himself. And then they will be within the swimming pool, if you will, the spring or the fountain of that piece, rather than just standing on the edge of it. And a lot of people, I think, are, they stand on the edge and they feel that like somebody's splashing them with the presence of the Lord, or they get splashes of joy or splashes of peace. When Jesus is saying, don't just stand there on the edge, come in. And we do that by faith. We do that by faith, by putting our faith in his death and burial and resurrection.
Wow. And the Spirit of God begins to flow in us.
Yeah.
We yield, we let God in to us, and there's this amazing connection.
Yeah, he's the one who, in fact, Paul said, it's the Holy Ghost who is the one, and of course, most of my scriptures are memorized in King James, so it's the Holy Ghost is the one who sheds abroad in our heart the love of Jesus Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't make it happen on our own. That's why we do need to come to the Lord just as we are and say, here I am. Make me alive. Make me new. I need the work of the Holy Spirit in my heart to transform me and to bring that love of Jesus Christ and, usher it into my heart, really. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit.
When we go through a troubling time, and you know, for my whole life, everybody kind of went in and out of their troubling times on their own, and you know, so and so is going through a problem, and then so and so over here is going through a problem. Now the entire world is going through a problem. You know, it's
a collective problem.
It's so crazy that everybody is going through something, and so even after you have put your faith in Jesus and you've connected with him, sometimes these problems can attack us and attack our faith, and we can get lost in the news or mm-hmm. you know, things that are happening, and we start centering ourselves around the negativity, and we start having fear in our heart. So tell us what you think, how these moments of worship are so important for believers in a time like this. What do you think these worship moments do for us as believers in regards to how we're dealing with the world?
Well, historically, the people of God in times of trial have always written songs and sung songs about our heavenly hope, the hope of the resurrection, the hope of eternal life. And it is lifting our eyes on Jesus and keeping them there and getting our eyes off of the here and now, because as people who are born again of the Spirit of the living God, who are partakers of his eternal life, partakers of the divine nature, we have this hope in the resurrection, which we just celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. And because he rose, that is part of the guarantee that we are going to rise again, whether we die in this earth or the Lord just shows up and transforms the people who are still alive and remain. Either way, we are promised a new body, an eternal home with the Lord Jesus. And part of our worship needs to involve lifting up our eyes to our eternal hope. This world is not all that there is. And I think there's a lot of people even who haven't yet come to know Jesus, that something inside them is telling them there's got to be more to life than this. The great news of the scripture is, yes, there is. This world is passing away and all of its stuff in it. And the world that the Lord designed us to live in is in his kingdom, in relationship with him. That's what's going on inside. We're like, there's got to be more to life than this. There is. And as we worship him, as we read his word, meditate on it, part of that worship, we should really look for those songs that remind us of our eternal hope, of the resurrection, and not just, you know, that the Lord's going to help me right now. He does. But we really are encouraged, and it strengthens our faith to look beyond right here and right now, because Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. This world and all the things in it are passing away. We are made for an eternal home, an eternal kingdom. And so as we worship, we lift our eyes up from the here and now, knowing that there is much bigger future ahead of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that always just fills me with so much hope.
Yeah, it transforms our mentality, you know, our vision, yeah. Our heart, our environment, you know, our atmosphere.
Yes.
I keep throwing out words to try to find the right one.
You're making me think of the word transcend. It goes above and beyond all the things of this world. Because if we just keep our eyes here and we're like, you know, think of Jesus as some sort of coping mechanism, I think we're really going down the wrong path. Jesus isn't a coping mechanism. He's the king of the universe. Mm. And brought us from death into life. And that historically has given the people of God the courage to go into room. This is before they knew anything about viruses. You know, Christians were the ones that would go into leper colonies, mm-hmm. and touch these people who everyone was afraid to touch, and would bring food into places where there was like, oh, don't go there. You'll get a disease. Yeah. And the people of God have been fearless in the face of things like this. Fearless in the face of economic collapse. Paul said, you know, I can be okay if I've got much or little. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the context of that statement. He's like, I've had a lot and I have had absolutely nothing. I haven't had a meal to eat, you know, but it doesn't matter because my hope is so much further beyond the here and now in this world.
Mm. And when you come into contact with that truth, that news, it yes. really does transcend. It helps you mm-hmm. transcend this temporal world.
Yes.
So, but there's something about music that mm-hmm. sort of unlocks
yes.
our flesh. I'm thinking back to David and Saul when the Bible says that David sort of soothed the darkness of Saul.
Yeah.
Seems like when God created the world, he created music and like singing and certain chords to just sort of that our you know, reading can't really do mm-hmm. or other mechanisms that we have.
Music is processed in a different part of our brain. So it's like it kind of, I think it's like it opens a back door or something. So people have known for many, many years that if you combine things with music, it often makes it easier to remember, like those songs that you get stuck in your head and you can't get them out of your head. It does have. So Paul wrote to, I think it was the Ephesians, and he encouraged them speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then in another, I think it's the Colossians, he says almost the same thing, but he uses the term teaching one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So it's something that we can do with this element of music, that we can combine the truth of the Word of God and a musical melody, and we get that turning over and over in our hearts. And it lifts us up. We can lift one another up with it as well. It's a powerful tool. I also have a couple verses that I'd like to read, if that's all right. So
yeah, I love that.
This, because we're in this season between, you know, Easter and Pentecost, you know, the Bible says that Jesus was appearing for 40 days to his disciples. and teaching them and speaking with them. And a lot of those appearances are not even recorded in the scripture. And there was one I stumbled onto the other day, and I've read it, but it just popped out at me. And it's in 1 Corinthians 15. It's verse 6, I think, where Paul's kind of going through the gospel message. You know, Jesus died for sin and he was buried and he arose. And then he starts mentioning all the people who saw him after his resurrection. You know, and Peter saw him and then the 12. And then he drops this bomb right in the middle of it. And he says, oh, and he was seen by over 500 believers at one time. And he says, many of them are still alive, though a few have died. So basically saying, yeah, if you don't believe me, there's 500 other people you can go talk to who saw the risen Jesus. And what's amazing is that event is not in the Gospels.
Yeah.
We don't know what that 500 people at one time saw the risen Jesus. And it's not even recorded in the Gospels.
Yeah.
So there was incredible stuff going on. But one of the things that happened between resurrection morning and the ascension was actually on resurrection evening. And I think it was really appropriate for this time right now where we're all kind of shut up in our houses. Mm-hmm. This is John 20, verse 19. It says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders.
Mm.
And it's like a lot of people are afraid to go out of their homes. Like, I'm going to get sick and I'm going to die. And so they're kind of behind locked doors. And just the picture of that we can all relate to. Here's the disciples for a different reason, but they're all, you know, on lockdown too. And then suddenly Jesus was standing there among them.
Mm.
He didn't even come through the door. He's just right there. And the first things out of his mouth was, peace be with you.
Yeah.
Which would have been shalom, right? Mm-hmm. Shalom. Which I looked that up in Hebrew, it means safe. Mm. It is well. Or as we would say today, it's all good. It's all good. It's shalom. And he had talked with them about peace in John chapter 14, right before he went to the cross, after the Last Supper. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you.
Mm.
And then he says this, do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. That's not a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving over the responsibility of that to his people. To do not allow your heart to be troubled. He's implying that we have a certain level of control over that.
Yeah.
We can either allow our heart to be troubled or not allow our heart to be. Because he says it twice. Don't let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be fearful. Do not let your heart become afraid. And I think a lot of times people think that fear is something that happens to them, like they're a victim and they have no control over it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help it. I'm afraid. Not according to Jesus. How many times go through the New Testament that he said, be not afraid, be not afraid, be not afraid. It's all over the Bible. In fact, someone counted them. They said there's 365 times in the Bible that it says, do not fear, be not afraid. So it's one for every day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So he's telling us that we are gatekeepers of our own hearts to not allow fear to come in. We have to stand up against that. It's a tool of the devil to cause people, individuals and whole communities of people to become afraid because we don't think well. We make bad decisions when we're afraid. Satan knows that. He uses it as a weapon against us. So Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be fearful. And the reason for that is because Jesus says, I'm giving my own peace. I'm giving that to you. This is the peace that Jesus himself enjoys. Do you think Jesus was ever fearful? No. Jesus was constantly in peace. And he has offered that as a gift to us.
Yeah.
And we'll receive that and walk in that and put up some gates at our heart and say, no, I'm not a victim. I'm not going to let my heart become fearful or afraid, because Jesus himself, Ephesians 2:14 says he himself is our peace. It's not something like pixie dust that he sprinkles out on us for a while. He himself is our peace. He doesn't impart peace apart from himself. He is our peace. Wow. So we, it goes back to abiding in Christ, that everything we need for life and godliness is in him. Mm-hmm. And so I'm coming to Jesus. I'm not just coming to his hand to see what he can hand out to me. I'm coming into his heart and abiding there and letting him transform me and renew me.
Let me close with this thought here. I was just reading that scripture you were reading. And after he tells them, peace be with you, he says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you.
Yeah.
So don't just sit here and wallow in self-pity or whatever, you know, and just think that it's about yourself even.
Right.
God is
commissioned. He says, as the Father sent me, so that means in the same way that the Father sent me, so I send you. So we have to ask ourselves, well, in what way did the Father send Jesus? In what way? What does he mean by that? And he sent Jesus to be the light of the world, right? To be a sacrifice for sin, to lay down his life so that life could come to others.
Yeah.
And Jesus didn't make any, he didn't pull any punches there. He said to the disciples, you know, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. You know, we are called also to lay down our lives for the people around us. You know, greater love has no man than he would lay down his life for his friends. So we're being sent in the same way to be the light of the world, to bring the gospel to the people around us. And when I say lay down our lives, maybe that means we die, but I think a lot of times it means that we set aside the comforts of this world, putting myself first. Mm-hmm. It means not always doing what I want to do when I want to do it, but I'm going to lay that down and do what's in this other person's best interest.
Yeah, yeah. Well, would you just pray for us as we close?
Absolutely.
Yeah, pray for
I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Promised Land, Lord, and I pray that you would work in us all by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would have a holy boldness, Lord, not just because of a coronavirus, but that we would have this boldness all the time to share the gospel, to be the light that you've called us to be, a city that is set on a hill whose light cannot be hidden. And I pray, Lord God, that it would be the boldness of the Holy Ghost, and you would also, you just give us wisdom and grace. Lord God, that people would see in us, whether it's our social media posts or the people in our family, or if those who are essential workers and they're still going to their work, Lord, I pray that they would see in us a joy and a peace that cannot be explained, an inexplicable joy, and your indescribable peace that passes all understanding, Lord, and that would open the door. It would just open the door for us to share the source of that peace and the source of that joy, which is Jesus Christ himself and the life that you've given us and the hope of the resurrection. Lord God, I pray that those who have been struggling with fear would look to you for victory and would not let their hearts be troubled and would not let them be afraid. And Lord, I pray that we would all open our hearts to receive your very own peace. The peace that you give that is really you yourself. You are our peace. Jesus, you are our peace.
Yeah.
and we do not have to be afraid. In fact, you command us, you call us. We are a people who are called not to be afraid and not to fear, not to give in to that, but to resist the devil, and he will flee from us, and not to give in to the attacks of the enemy, but to be strong, to be strengthened with might in the inner man. I pray that we would all use this time to grow in our relationship with you and relationship with our families, and that we would take time to worship you, to honor you. Lord, you are so, God, you are so exalted. There is nothing that disturbs your eternal reign. No plots or schemes of man, no troubles that we face. Nothing disturbs your reign or your peace. So we worship you, Lord. You are worthy. You are always worthy. And we lift our eyes to your great everlasting kingdom, your power, and your glory. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lacey. Oh, we love Lacey so much. Thank you for joining us on our podcast today. We hope to be giving you more fresh content like this, not only our Sunday sermons, but other talks and interviews along the way. If you ever need anything, please reach out to us. You can send us an email at info@psmchurch.com, or of course, you can catch us on social media on our Facebook page or Instagram. We love you guys. We're praying for you.